Ryan or Shog from TSN. Shog, how you doing?
Doing awesome, buddy. How are you today?
I am well. Quickly, though, on off topic, right now, if you had to, how many push-ups could you do?
Like right this second?
Yeah,
like
in
if
a
I
row.
Dropped the phone and just started pounding out push-ups?
Yeah.
Now, wait, are we talking like you're going to be all militant about it? And,
yeah,
and
like
I have
real
to, like,
push-ups.
Nose to the floor, full,
I would,
or just sort of like...
I would give you like a, you know, an inch and a half from the floor.
Oh, like with good form and everything, maybe, I don't know, buddy, maybe 30.
30, okay.
Maybe 30, 35-ish.
Majot got to 15, so.
15?
15, yeah.
1-5.
1-5.
Well, maybe I'm way overshooting it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the best shape right now.
Well, I saw that. I thought a hive of bees stung your stomach over the summer.
Right. All right. Hey, pot, meat kettle. All right. You were the one wearing the boys' medium dress shirt today to the Commonwealth. So.
That's because it fits.
Yeah. It fits from the front, but the rest of us saw you from the back.
Oh, yeah. Hey, trust me, there's no love handles here. You can chirp me all you want, but the one thing I know, that obesity is not an issue for this kid.
Well, it's not obesity. I mean, I'm not calling you obese. I'm just saying, you know, a muffin top isn't...
No.
For a man of your age, that's nothing to be ashamed
of. I will
of.
Take my shirt off right now and gladly show. I'll do the rest of my show without a shirt on. There's no muffin top
okay,
here.
Okay, do it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Okay.
Because I don't have to be there to look
exactly.
at it. So
yeah.
You go ahead and
I'm
do
taking,
that.
I'm taking it off right now.
Sure you are. Yeah, and I'm doing push-ups right now.
Mike Riley is one of the most upbeat guys I've ever met. All the time.
Yeah.
He is like bitterly frustrated right now.
His
hand is not responding the way he was hoping it to. He said the swelling's not even the issue anymore. So obviously, you know, to me, there's some like tendon issue. Didn't want to say what it was other than it's not broken. And they even tried one day to freeze it to see how he'd feel throwing. You know, you can throw it, but you can't throw it with any sort of accuracy. So I think there's zero chance he plays tomorrow. How much of a drop do you think there is from Riley to Nichols?
Well, I think there's quite a bit. I think that Riley's becoming one of the better starters in the league. And I think that it's not just throwing the football, but he gives him another dimension with his feet. He can run the ball, and he gives defenses a little bit more to think about. I think there's a pretty significant drop-off. And I talked to him today, too. And, yeah, I agree with you. The frustration level is really high. The problem with what he's been going through is he's had moments where it's felt like it's a lot better. And so he had a bit of a breakthrough where suddenly he could grip a football. But then as soon as he started trying to throw it, he couldn't hang on to it properly. And so then they tried the freezing, and he could whip it all the way downfield. But like you said, with no accuracy at all. And so I think this has just been really frustrating for him because it's looked better and then big setback and then looked better and then big setback. And I mean, if he wakes up tomorrow and feels fantastic, you know, he'll do everything he can to play. But when it's your hand, when it's your throwing hand and you're a quarterback, you can hobble around on a bad knee. You can hobble around on a sore ankle, even a bad shoulder. But when it's your hand, that's ball. That's the safety of the ball now you're talking about, right? So there's just no way for him to do it.
No, I don't think so at all. Fred Stamps, though, that's a huge huge addition for Matt Nichols. And I was surprised Chris Jones came out and was very forthcoming. He said, hey, Matt Nichols overthrew three guys last game,
yeah,
and some of his check down reads were not there. I think if Nichols struggles in that first half, we might see Pat White regularly.
Yeah, I agree. I think I was also surprised to hear him say those things. Like, Chris is the kind of coach that doesn't seem to give you any extra detail at all, right? Like, there's nothing. You ask him a question, you get 10 words back with maybe exactly what you asked for, but not an ounce more. And he was pretty forthcoming with some of his some of the issues that he had in his quarterback's game. And I think that I'm not sure if the hook will come swiftly, but I just think that it's kind of putting him on notice a little bit that, yeah, you haven't played a ton of football, but this is the expectation. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think that Matt Nichols is a good competitor. I think that he's been a great teammate in the wake of the unfortunate things that have happened to him and the injuries. And he, more than anybody, has had a lot of reason to, you know, be frustrated or feel down. But he's been a good soldier through this, and now he's getting his chance. But all that stuff only gets you so far. He needs to have a really good game now.
Oh, he has to move the ball for this team because, you know, the defense and all the defensive players, I found it interesting, Ryan, and it shows me who really are the leaders on this team defensively. Anyway, they're the ones saying, man, we didn't show up. We need to be better. The offense has been average at best. And you haven't heard that from any of the offensive guys. The defense has a bad game, and, man, they don't pull any punches. They make no excuse. Odell Lewis, we got to show up. You know, Elmondo Sewell says we got to be more intense. Curran, we got to be more physical. I find it very interesting that, you know, the defense seems like a group that has confidence and high expectations of themselves that the offense just doesn't have yet.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. If the offense didn't play great, and if they, you know, lost the football game on the tail end of a poor performance of the offense, who would you first go to and expect to hear that from? Mike Riley. I mean, that is Mike Riley. That is what he does. That is what he's the guy that will say those things. He is the one that leads that offense and takes that responsibility. So you look at the other people that they have in place. Fred Stamps is a guy that'll do that too, but he hasn't been around. You get past that, and you don't necessarily have a lot of guys of that ilk. Guys that are built that way. I agree with you entirely. The defense has taken more than its share. Guyton took quite a bit of criticism this week, but nobody really stood up and said we weren't good enough. It's not acceptable. It's on the offensive side of the ball. But that's what Mike Riley does. That would be him standing there saying that. So Matt Nichols was reasonably happy with his performance. Knows he can be better, but I think it's got to be a lot better for them to even have a chance against Calgary.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joined us. Grant Shaw, huge loss today for the Eskimos. What's your expectations for Hugh O'Neill?
I'm not sure. And you know, the thing about it is that when you have a kicker, there's kind of this feel that I think the team's coach, but also the head coach gets with his kicker and a trust that develops. An understanding that we're driving the ball all the way down the field. What are we doing? Am I letting them try and kick this? Are we going to gamble on third down instead, or do we punt this thing away? What are we doing? And I think there's a synergy that develops when you have the same guy over and over and over. And now I just wonder if that rhythm isn't broken. They've got another guy in there, hasn't played, hasn't been kicking, and now you've got the same decisions to make with a different guy, and that's really got to throw you off on a number of levels. So I don't really know what can be expected. He hasn't played a lot of football. I think they're going to have to play it safe with some of these decisions and probably keep it pretty simple with the kicking game.
Yeah, well, it's his punts, especially the way the offense has struggled all year, that has really helped the Eskimos because they don't give up a lot of punt return yards because he's been so good at directional punting this year. You know, Hugh O'Neill's coming in. He's got big shoes to fill.
Oh, no, he does, for sure. And Shaw has been... Shaw's been consistent, and he's been reliable. And now all of a sudden you just throw an unknown in there, an unknown to the head coach, for sure, and trying to make those split-second decisions in a short amount of time. You're looking at this guy, and you're going, well, I know what I'd do if Grant were standing there, but you probably have to reconsider, and there's probably a lot more to think about when it's just somebody that's less familiar. So, like I said, I think that they're going to have to keep it simple and probably play safe, err on the side of caution with some of the decisions they're making with their team's game and with their kicking.
Quickly, Corey Potter signs at the Flames.
Well, two-way deal, right?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That's what Corey Potter should have been on this entire time. But it was Steve Tambellini who saw fit to give him a one-way deal, which to this day I still don't understand. Didn't understand it at the time. Didn't understand the timing of the contract or the content of the contract, the structure of the contract. I mean, we've done this show for a number of years now. I've been pretty open with how I felt about Potter and what he brought to the table. To me, he was a big guy that didn't play in any way, shape, or form a big guy's game and was pretty inconsistent and, to me, just didn't bring a whole lot to the table. So he gets another opportunity. Good for him. But I've never been a huge fan of Corey Potter's.
Not going to get an argument for me on that one.
Well, I mean,
I used to chuckle at the guys. Oh, no, he's better than his. Look at his analytics. I'm like, please, stop.
Yeah, no, I don't really care about the analytics on Potter. We've seen him in enough situations to know where he probably should be. So whatever the analytics might say about him, they're not going to change my mind on Corey Potter. I've seen enough. I've seen enough. And it's funny, a lot of people came at me when the Bruins picked him up and said, well, it's not good enough for the Oilers, and they're using Boston.
Yeah.
And I just
doing
thought,
nothing.
Yeah, let's just wait. Just wait and see. we'll just wait and see. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a sniff for him in Boston. So, I mean, maybe he had a good summer. Maybe he sees his NHL life flashing before his eyes. Maybe he'll throw a few more body checks and maybe punch a guy or two in the face and get himself a little bit more emotionally invested in what he's doing.
Hey, Shogger, you know what? Corey Potter punching guys in the face is about as likely as Mark Mageau crushing out 100 push-ups in a row at the end of the show.
But just, you know what I'm saying, though? Just being a little more emotionally invested, just a little bit more a little more in the moment with where he was at. And so he was for me, he was a frustrating player.
Actually, I'll take it even one step further. Corey Potter punching a guy in the face is about as likely as me growing hair for next week, okay? It ain't
happening. Fitting into that same shirt.
It is not happening. It's not happening at all. This shirt's unreal. Shogger, you have yourself a good weekend. You count your push-ups and let us know next week.
Yeah, for sure I will.